Well, good evening. Welcome to Harvest Baptist Church. We're so glad you're here tonight with us, George. Join us in a time of fellowship in worship for our Sixpiration. Just a quick reminder, right after this service, also we'll be heading over to the fellowship hall for this time of fellowship. We have some potluck. I know some soups and other things over there. Only way to find out what's over there is to come over and join us. That'll be after the service over in Building B or the Fellowship Hall. And the guidelines are we'll have some music, we'll have some special music, we'll have some hymns. And if you would like to sing a favorite hymn, you'll have an opportunity to raise your hand and give the hymn number, but also give a testimony if you're requesting a hymn. It can be very brief. Just if you just want to say, I thank the Lord that I'm above ground and I'm here tonight, that's sufficient. But if you have a little more to share, that's wonderful as well. And so keep those things in mind. So we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then our choir is going to sing If That Isn't Love, and then we'll have a song together in a time of fellowship, and then we'll have our first hymn. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much, and we do thank you for the love that's everlasting through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll bless us tonight. Help us enjoy the time of music, the joy time of singing together, the testimonies. May you be uplifted and glorified, and we'll be careful to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Knowing is dead.
after the announcements, and again, remind you the guidelines, so be ready for if you have a favorite song. It looks like we have slots for six opportunities to choose a favorite song and a brief testimony to go along with that. So if you already know your favorite song, wonderful, make sure you know the page number. Go ahead and get the hymn book in your hand and be ready for that, and we'll hopefully get through that. Hopefully, I have six willing participants, some participants to help in that area, as we have six willing participants to sing and minister to you. So we're glad you're here tonight.
Friend of Kitty's, and I'm happy to be here tonight. It's a blessing for me. I'm going to sing What If It Were Today. We're waiting for the Lord to come back.
Were today coming to claim his joy.
should come today, watching in gladness and not in fear, if he should come today. Signs of his coming multiply, morning light breaks in eastern sky, but for the time is drawing nigh. What if it Thank you.
pairing. Let's see. We have a testimony, then Brother Sam, you'll be after the next testimony, and then Michelle after the testimony after that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our offering this evening. Brother John Draper, will you please pray for us?
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity where we can sing praises, show our talents, our gifts, Father, and that we can glorify you in all that we do. We ask your blessing this now, if you would, for the offering that we take. Thank you so much for all you've given us, and thank you for this opportunity we give back to you that we owe. And we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Spread their wings and stood prepared. And once again, Satan knew he'd been defeated. 'Cause God had heard my dear old mama's prayer. In my yesterdays of childhood, Mama taught that having fun was Sunday morning meeting every time those church bells rung. And after family devotions, she'd lead me up the stairs where I first heard the echoes of my dear old mama's prayer. When mama prayed, heaven paid attention. The angels spread their wings and stood prepared. And once again, Satan knew he'd been defeated. 'Cause God had heard my dear old mama's prayer. In this modern age of tank missiles, tanks and ships and guns, when men believe there's just one way that war is ever won, I have that secret weapon that all guns cannot compare. For I've won 1,000 battles with my dear old mama's prayer. When mama prayed, heaven paid attention. The angels spread their wings and stood prepared. And once again, Satan knew he'd been defeated. 'Cause God had heard my dear old mama's prayer. And you could leave
one hand-me-down for this old mama's kid. Just teach me how to pray like mama did, like mama did.
As many of y'all know, Pastor and I served as missionaries for just over 30 years. And it was on a very snowy day in the country of Moldova, in the village of Varilu Vode. We had about 2.5 feet of snow on the ground. We were out of diesel. Our car was broke down. Pastor had to hitchhike into town to get groceries. It was just one of those days. And I was sitting in my windowsill kind of saying, Lord, of all the countries in the world, why here? And Lord, of all the people in the world, why me? I'm going to start crying before I even start singing. Anyway, a church had just recently sent us a CD, and I had it playing on in the background, and I just praised the Lord for his perfect timing, and this is what I heard.
God is good, and he doeth all things well. All his efforts meet success. God is good, God is good. Who am I to question the judgments that he makes? God is good, this I know. God is good. When life is a struggle and I feel alone, when sadness steals my song, God is good. And when trials come my way, he is not surprised, for he planned it. He is God, and he is good. God is good, God is good, and he too. God is good, God is good. Who am I to question the judgments that he makes? God is good, this I know. God is good. If life smiles me today, or if it frowns, if the sun comes up or doesn't, God is good. And a million years from now, I won't remember those, but I will remember that my God is good. God is good. God is good, God is good. Who am I to question the judgments that he makes? God is good, this I know. God is good. first John, the judgments that he makes. God is good, this I know. God is good.
Thank you, Michelle. I remember that winter very, very well. And praise God, I will not see that type of snow here in Arizona. Amen. Well, all right. In fact, I remember that winter because I also singed my eyebrows off and the front of my hair off trying to light that kerosene diesel furnace that we had that didn't seem to stay running. That was one winter, let me tell you. All right, how many folks remember what we were going to talk about tonight? How many came prepared? A few. Okay, that's what I was afraid of. I did not prepare an outline. I wished I had of, and we'll see how it goes tonight. But for those of you visiting with us, I'm doing something a little different tonight than I normally would. I normally have kind of a short devotion, a short challenge to go with that. But it seems here lately I have a hard time with the word short. I'm short in stature. But I may be short in stature, but I'm long in speech. But and we'll hopefully when we get through tonight, there'll be some things left over that you can discuss around the table as we fellowship. But we'll have a word of prayer and go on. But kind of the topic that I wanted to encourage you about or challenge you to study is about feeling judged versus conviction for the believer. Feeling judged or conviction for the believer. We live in a world today where so many people make the excuse not to go to church or to leave the church because they are too judgy or they're judging me. But I think some of our young people, maybe even some of our seasoned believers that are carnal, it's more like they don't like the conviction that's coming their way, so it's an easy excuse. So most of what I have to say tonight will be about those who are professing to be Christians. In other words, you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because you've realized your sinful condition and repented of those sins. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll see where we go from here and what our time is to have some comments on the latter part. Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings and service of joy and fellowship. You're so good to us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help me tonight. Help me to take some of the things I've put on paper, some other things that have come to my mind since I arrived at church, and kind of mend them together with the folks that are here tonight that might be a help and a blessing as well as a challenge to them. For so I help me, Lord. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, let me say before we get started, God is a God of judgment. The Bible clearly says in the book of Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word death in Romans 6 refers to Revelation chapter 15, where it says death and hell was be cast into the lake of fire. So there is judgment, there is judging, but sometimes people think individuals are judging them instead of the Bible. Kind of hard to point your finger at God that you're judging me. It's easy to point to a person. Come on, yeah, to get upset. And that's what happens with some people, and they come across that way. So with that being said, again, God does judge. The Bible does say, judge not and you shall not be judged. We'll get to that. But first of all, to realize and understand what conviction is, first of all, you have to experience it and acknowledge it. And the first time we all acknowledged conviction was our sinful condition and we turned to Christ. But after returning to Christ is what I want to talk about, because I feel we live in a world today as a pastor, I need to be and try to be very careful on what I say and how I say it, but people get defensive. We live in a world what they call cancel culture, and I'll be honest with you, go ahead and cancel me, I don't care. You know, I'm going to speak the word, I'm going to speak the truth, no matter where it falls, period. But there are some folks that get upset by not necessarily how you say something, but what you're saying, instead of looking at the person, which they do, instead of looking at Scripture and what they are saying about Scripture. So a couple thoughts here tonight. Again, our discussion is in reference to believers and not non-believers. So feeling judged versus conviction for the believer, or using the I feel judge as an excuse instead of responding to conviction. And that's what happens much. And I want to be careful about saying the younger generation. Let me include just carnal Christians no matter what your age is. If we point a finger and use being judged as an excuse for our conviction, we're being carnal. So there is a trend among believers that if they don't like the Bible preaching, the Bible teaching, or the standard of a church, they use that thing again, "you're judging me" line. You see, they don't seem to consider the possibility of conviction that comes along with Christian growth. And we talked about the progressive sanctification in Christian growth this morning. Dear friends, let's just be honest. When you get older, did your mom and dad not expect more responsibility out of you? And as we get older as Christians, we take on more responsibility, and there may be something we do in our early Christian life that somewhere along the way the Lord begins to say, "You should not be doing that anymore. Should not be watching that anymore. Should not be listening to that anymore. You're a believer. You're growing. You're a mature Christian. You need to set an example." But yet if you try to share with someone about the way they dress or their appearance or the language they're using, they say, "Well, you're judging me." No, I'm sorry. The Bible is. I'm just repeating what the Bible says. But again, sometimes it's hard to just to say that off the cuff. And as a pastor, it's easy for people to get upset and just leave and get mad at the preacher. Have I preached that message yet? Don't get mad at the preacher. I've been threatened to preach that. Maybe I'll do that this year. But they get upset with the preacher instead of looking inward and accepting the responsibility. See, judgment and conviction are distinct biblical concepts with different sources, different purposes, and different outcomes. We'll look at judgment first. Judgment is condemnation. It focuses on guilt and punishment. It can be driven by Satan or our conscience to produce despair and sometimes even shame. It tells a person how bad they are and pushes them toward despair, anxiety, fear, or maybe even anger. You see, judgment is the final legal verdict in sentencing for sin, which is the exclusive right of God. So when you're being judged or you're feeling judged, is it because it's your conscience? It's because you know what they're saying is right, but I can't admit or confess to it? There's a difference between judgment and conviction. The Bible says that we are not to judge. Matthew 7 and verse 1, "Judge not and ye shall not be judged." As believers, there is no condemnation because Christ has already paid the penalty. Let me say that again with judgment. As believers, there's no judgment, there's no condemnation because Christ has already paid the penalty. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." See, there's no need to feel judged, but conviction is real and spiritually healthy. I mentioned this morning. If you're under conviction about something and getting a little uncomfortable, before you get all upset and accuse someone of judging you, accuse the preacher of judging you, maybe you should say, "Thank you, Lord. Because this conviction means that I am one of yours. I do belong to you." Conviction comes from God. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And that conviction should assure us and say, as Michelle sang tonight, "Boy, God is so good to convict me for my wrong." God is good. He's convicted me of my wrong. He awards me and gives me joy for my goodness and my service for Him. But He convicts me when I'm wrong. See, there is a difference between judgment and conviction. And so often we use that word as an excuse, or some believers use it as an excuse to point a finger or to leave a Bible study, to leave a group, or to break fellowship with someone. Again, conviction should lead to correction. So here's, again, judgment may bring fear, anxiety, embarrassment, and some other areas because you're maybe singled or pointed out. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does not single you out and call you out verbally. But if you stand before a judge and get a guilty sentencing, He calls you out in front of the whole courtroom, no doubt. There's times our parents may call us out when we were kids growing up. But when the preacher is standing here or here on the platform as I am tonight and preaching the word, we need to realize if we feel called out, it's not Him. He's just preaching the word. That's called conviction. And when we get uncomfortable with the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, again, that very first time is for salvation, because we realize we are sinners in need of Christ. But after we are believers and we put our faith and trust in Christ, there's still conviction, but in the flesh, I can use the term or the phrase, well, they're just judging me. I don't like that church. They just judge everyone. Or the preacher is just too judgy. He's always preaching on what they really need to say. He's always preaching on my sins is what they should say, and that would be truth. But instead, they make excuses, and they go back to the judging. Dear friends, if you're a believer and you put your faith and trust in Christ, conviction is good. It's healthy. It assures us that we belong to Him. We just need to make sure that we, if we get, in other words, if our fur is getting rubbed the wrong way, just turn around and go the other, you know, get it right. Turn to God and get it right, and that conviction will go away. Again, conviction should lead to correction. Conviction is the Holy Spirit ongoing work in the believer and even the seeker. It reveals what is wrong so we can get it right. The Holy Spirit helps us to keep, gentlemen, short accounts. Keeping those short accounts, and that's where conviction comes in. Conviction should not push away, but draw us to repentance and back to God. When we pull out the excuse of judging, what we're doing is we're pushing away. But the design of the Holy Spirit to bring a conviction is to draw us back to Him, where we belong, near Christ, walking with Him and serving Him. Judgment or condemnation focuses on identity and shame. Conviction focuses on ungodly behavior or conversation and provides a path or a way to correction through recognition and repentance. Let me say that again. Conviction focuses on ungodly behavior or conversation, but it always provides a path or a way of correction through recognition and repentance. But judgment goes back to the identity and shame. Conviction is designed to lead to repentance, joy, and restored relationship with God. We talked a little bit about the prodigal son this morning and about forgiveness and those things. Dear friends, the bottom line is there's none of us are going to live here on earth after salvation without having some type of conviction. So let me ask you a rhetorical question. When's the last time you felt a conviction of the Holy Spirit? I mean, we cannot live above sin. We're going to have wrong thoughts, bad thoughts. We're going to maybe have a bad feeling or maybe not respond the way we should or maybe not take the care that we should in our prayer time and our Bible time or how we look or treat toward others. The bottom line is we are to strive for that perfection. We're to strive to be like Christ in our sanctification, but we will never be complete until the Lord returns or call us home. We never will, but we are to strive for that. So conviction is a good thing. We had the privilege of being on vacation here in East Tennessee, and I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, I came back extremely tired after spending those last 2 days hiking about 15 miles and about no trail was longer than 2 miles, but it was a good type of tired. And while we were there, we visited a church and joined their services while we were there. Way of the Cross Baptist Church, Ryan Goings was the pastor. He was from Resaca, Georgia. His first pastorate, he was young. Him and his wife were expecting their first baby. And let me tell you, I enjoyed the preaching, but I'll be honest with you. I'm getting off track. I'll get back in a minute. I'll be honest with you. I miss my Harvest family. The folks were nice, but it wasn't Harvest. The folks were friendly, but they were not as friendly as Harvest. But I tell you what I really enjoyed is when the preacher got up with that thick southern Georgia drawl, opened his Bible, and just reared back and let her fly. I thought, hey, man, bring it on, preacher. I enjoyed it. And it's so wonderful to be away from your home church and then be in church. And here's another thing that I liked. This young preacher, his fifth year at his church, his first church, through his preaching and teaching of the Word of God, I'll be honest with you, I had a little bit of conviction on that Sunday morning service. I had to, and I was praising God for it. Well, you're the preacher. Oh yeah, I'm a man too. Flesh and blood, just like you. But I realized there's probably some things I can improve on in my shepherding. There's probably some things I can improve on in being a better husband, father, grandfather, friend to the man of harvest. I enjoyed the preaching and the excitement that took place in the service. I missed the friendliness of Harvest Baptist Church, but I enjoyed the preaching. We came back again that night, and the young preacher preached from a passage. I could tell he was uncomfortable because he had to deal with some things as a young preacher preaching to many folks that were older, majority that were older than he was. But he did a good job, and that encouraged me that he didn't shun from his responsibilities because he was preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. And dear friends, we need to realize and understand, when you get uncomfortable sitting in the congregation of a church because of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, have you ever thought about how uncomfortable maybe the pastor was in preparation and wondering, how is this going to hit brother so-and-so? How is this going to hit sister so-and-so? How will they respond to the preaching and teaching? Lord, I know this is my text. I know I have to preach it. I know I just can't gloss over or skip to it. I've got to expound and preach the Word. But as a shepherd and as a pastor, we cannot help but to think how people will respond. So how do you respond under conviction? Are you pull out the judging card? Or do you embrace and say, Lord, thank you for the conviction? Again, conviction is out of love. And here's what I really like about this phrase. Conviction is out of love and a promise of forgiveness. We forget sometimes when conviction comes, when we acknowledge it, there's a promise of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's never conviction that God puts on our heart through the Holy Spirit that forgiveness is not promised right there. As long as we do the about face and repent of what the Lord is convicting us of and respond the right way. But today we live in a society of generational people that have a hard time of accepting responsibility, so they point the finger. They don't do wrong, they don't speak wrong, they don't say or nothing, so they make excuses or they point the finger to draw attention away from themselves. They go through all these different things, and it just concerns me as a country, as a father, as a grandfather. It greatly concerns me because if the Lord tarries His return, we already know that the world is going to wax worse and worse than it already is. So how do we set the pace? So let me say this before I entertain any other questions or thoughts. Do not allow your children, do not allow your grandchildren, do not allow a younger generation, a peer or a friend, to use excuse and blame you or your judgmental attitude or you pushing away, because the bottom line is when they bow up, sometimes we just remind them that that forgiveness is promised when conviction comes. And if we're not careful, we'll take that and we can be defeated. We live in a world today, I read an article recently in Fox News, it's unbelievable how many kids are cutting their adult parents off and out of their life completely. Their moms and dads, it's not your fault. If you're living the right type of life, you're living for the Lord, you're in church, I'm talking to believers that are trying to live and do the right thing. That's called them not recognizing conviction and pulling the judging card and not accepting the fact there is forgiveness promised for the conviction that God is giving me. And sometimes it's through a friend. Sometimes it's through a parent. Sometimes it's through the preaching. Sometimes it's just through reading the Word of God. The conviction will come. So if you have not had conviction in your life in a long time, let me ask you, are you in the Word? Or are you in church? Or have you pushed away to a sense that you don't recognize the convicting of the Holy Spirit? All right, any thoughts or ideas before we close tonight? It's 10 after 7. We'll take a few more minutes. Amen. That mirror just came to me, brother. My wife, gentlemen, like some of your wives, has this special mirror in the bathroom where they pluck their eyebrows and do their makeup and do all those things. They have this special mirror. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. Now, I don't like that mirror. I don't know why. Okay, I don't know why you ladies use those mirrors. I mean, I do know so you can see real good. But I looked in it one day. I saw so many blemishes, it scared me. But you know, that's the reflection we should have of the Spirit of God in our life, of that conviction. We should be able to look to the Word and look to the Lord to work in our life, that sin, those blemishes are so clear that it's boom right there, because we're in tune to the preaching. We want to hear from heaven. We're in the Word, as Brother Cherry said, allowing the Holy Spirit to be the mirror. So no smart alecks. I don't need a full-size one of those mirrors for my birthday. Brother Mel, was you going to say something? And that's a hard balance as a pastor. It's a hard balance as a parent in dealing with our kids, is taking that balanced approach. I've got to speak to truth no matter how it lands. I have to speak truth, but hopefully we're teaching them as they grow. Hopefully we're setting a godly example that we realize and remember. And this principle of studying and preparing for tonight, I wished I really understood that last phrase I used when my kids were home. But that conviction is out of love, and it comes with a promise of forgiveness. If we can grasp that and understand it, the conviction is there because God wants to forgive us and restore us. If he didn't care, there would be no conviction at all. Yes, Ms. Cheryl. And that can be a very delicate balance when the person is already pushing away from church. They're already angry with the things of the world. But when I was correcting my children at their home, I always tried to explain to them, this is what the Bible says. We have rules, and we did have rules. In fact, I can remember my girls, my second set of children. We had a daughter and a son, then we had a break, and then we had two more little girls. And I remember I had house rules. Every year, I went over the house rules and had them sign the house rules. Not that they agreed with them, but they understood, and I told them, I'm not asking you to agree. I'm asking you to read and acknowledge, I've read them, I know these are the rules, I may not agree, but I do acknowledge them. One of my girls did exactly that. She read them, signed her name, and said, I don't agree, but I did read it. You know, but that's fine. That was our younger, you could guess who that was. But the point I'm trying to make, it's in here as well. We read it, we understand it, but sometimes we don't want to agree with it. And that's where conviction comes in, where we live a way of a lifestyle that doesn't agree with God's word. Again, we're not perfect by any means, but that doesn't give us a license to sin. And if we will just keep in mind, forget about judgment, that's different, that's a verdict, there's a penalty there, there's consequences, the Lord has already paid that. But when he brings us under conviction, there's always the promise, Brother Sam, the hope of forgiveness. It's always there. All we have to do is say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I was wrong. Please help me not to do it again. Please help me not to fall in that trap, whatever it may be. And the forgiveness is always, always there. We as human beings, we cannot forget some things. There's some things in Scripture I wish I had locked in. I can't remember the reference, but I can go through my Bible and remember, okay, it's in 2 Timothy on the right side, second column. I know where it's at, but I can't quote it to you, and it's frustrating. But I can remember some stinking alcohol jingles from my teenage years that I wish I could forget. But we must remember that forgiveness is not forgetting. It's remembering that we forgave when it comes up again. Lord, forgive me and help me continue. We all get frustrated with our world that we live in. But let's just remember, let's set the example. And when we have to rebuke someone, when we have to share the gospel, to share what something is wrong, let's try to remember that phrase that, hey, forgiveness is promised in repentance and restoration. In other words, let's just be honest. A person is going to repent. If a person is going to admit they're wrong, sometimes they just might need some assurance that they're going to be received and embraced. They might need to realize and understand, or help them understand, I'm still part of the family. Forgiveness is promised, but not without the repentance. And so often I think we forget that or people don't see that. Well, I hope it was a help in some way. I'm sorry I didn't do a handout. Again, just remember, conviction is out of love, but it comes with a promise of forgiveness. And we need to remember that as well and share that. And don't let anyone, including your kids, your grandchildren, or some yahoo you run into at Fry's, no, we're not being judgy. We're just trying to do our best to present the truth. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, could it be conviction because you realize that you're wrong? Sometimes it's hard to word it the right way. And sometimes I'm learning that sometimes I have to do this, and sometimes I get the hug, and I prefer the hug over the ducking. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and we'll have a word of prayer. We'll move over to the fellowship hall. I hope you can have time to join us. If you have to take off, I do understand. But thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's a blessing to see you once again. Those of you that attend elsewhere but join us on occasion, we're glad you're here. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and thank you for the time that we've had together tonight in praise and worship and fellowship of our Savior. Thank you for those who shared their testimonies and shared a song, Lord, with us tonight, or an instrumental. Lord, what a blessing it was. Now, Father, I pray that you dismiss us with your love. Bless our fellowship. Bless the food. Thank you for those who prepare to make things and arrangements for that. And now, Lord, again, bless our fellowship together, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you over in the fellowship hall. Mm-hmm.